Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
So we started off 2025 with a bunch of very interesting verses. Don't know who of you were here, but we're going to repeat it today, just for in case you missed it, or maybe you were here one of those. But today we are bringing the encouragement. Okay, so we heard this bit of a bashing from Paul, saying that in the end times, in the last days, there will be people loving themselves. I mean, that is basically it. They loved themselves. They didn't love God. They had this appearance of holiness, but they did not love God. Okay, and that is the big theme. And then Paul comes and he says to Timothy, but however you, Timothy, you are steadfast. And that we're also going to read today. And that is the encouragement. Although he's saying that persecution will arise and all these things will be bad, there's a encouragement that he gives him, and also in verse 14 saying, may you continue in this, may you continue in doing good. And Paul contrasts this conduct of his life that Timothy followed, and this with the false teachers, you know, sharing all this moral depravity, all these sins that we saw in the first few verses. And he warns us that in the end times, it will become difficult. Amen? And we see it. We see it in schools. We see it in the way churches do their thing. Just missing the point completely. Loving themselves. Loving their glory, not God's glory. And today our title is to stand firm in the faith. How do we do that? We're going to look at one or two points, how to stand firm in the faith. It will be part one. We'll only look at verse 10 today. But I want to read us through these nine verses again and explain to you this moral depravity, as well as the contrast that we're going to read in verses 10 to 14 that we're going to get today. So let's read from verse 1, and I'll continue explaining Paul starting this chapter that we read in the beginning of the year. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. And we are now in the last days. Okay, so the time of difficulty is here. That word difficulty is also, it's a fierce word. It's actually like a fierce difficulty. It will be very, very difficulty. It will be very difficult to follow God in these times. And there's a story that I like to tell, which is about two farmers. Let's tell the story now, because I started already. I wanted to tell it later, but here we go. There's two farmers, and they wanted the farm of the other farmers. This farmer wanted it. So he wanted to buy it, but they didn't want to sell it. So what he did was he decided with him and his children that they are going to move this fence 1 meter every 5 years. And guess what? Over 800 years, they stole the farm. Because that farmer did not know that they moved it 1 meter every 5 years. I mean, because it's a small difference. I think Stefan also shared a bit a few weeks back that if we miss the mark, you know, if we miss it by 1 degree, we think that this is the path we should walk on, and we miss it by 1 degree, when we're very far off down the line, we see that we are completely off the path. Amen. And that is something that will be a theme right through today, is to make sure that we follow God in every area of life. Even if it's a small thing, to follow doctrine strictly. Because in the last days, there will be people of difficulty. There will be false teachers having an appearance of godliness. Let's read further from verse 2. It says, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That is a big one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness. They're not people outside of the church, but they actually look as if they have an appearance of godliness. That story of the wolf amongst the sheep. I mean, this is these people. But denying its power, avoid such people. For among them there are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres also opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those men. And then the next verse, verse 10, which says, you, however, have followed. Beautiful. Really bringing a contrast, really saying, Timothy, no, there must be a sense of pride for Paul here. Né? Yay, Timothy, you have followed. But also, in verse 13, saying, you know, be careful, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. Not only saying, no, you are great. Continue in this. It's very important because as the times get longer, we are in the difficult time. You know, times will be more difficult. We will receive more persecution. We will get more oppression. We will look more different to the world. And it makes sense because in verse 13, let's read from verse 10. Then we can explain verse 13 as well. It says, you, however, Timothy, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned, and you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. And that is what I wanted to say in verse 13. It says they go from bad to worse. If you think that bad is bad, it's not that bad. You can get worse. So you get these false teachers going bad, and we get us, hopefully, looking to Jesus, being sanctified. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4. That is the will of God, that you are sanctified. Holy, growing holy. Purification. Purify my heart. Let that be my heart's desire, to be holy, like I am holy, as it says in 1 Peter. And this difference between us and the world, this will get more and more and more. And we'll see that it just gets worse and worse and worse. And we can see that in the life today. We can see that in schools. And I always like to use this vivid example of LGBTQ, which is just so sad. Being accepted. You know, it's such a vivid, easy thing. You are a man, you are a woman. And it gets mixed. The devil gets it right so that gets mixed. I mean, that's how far it can get. And that gets into the churches. I mean, we are in the difficult times. And we need to choose. You know, we need to know where that fence are of our farm. Because if someone moves it 1 meter, I need to know it. And therefore, we need to know the Word of God. I mean, we need to know what God says. There's a downward trend. And hopefully we will get increasingly better. There's just this beautiful picture that I spoke to someone a while ago. Churches, 20 years ago, they sent out like a bit of a calendar. You know, this is what we're doing this is what we're going to do in the year to come. And then the schools will take the calendar and they will plan around it. Wow, how cool is that? And it makes sense. But that is not so anymore. Amen. It just changes. Now we get like 7 sports going on a Sunday. You know, I need to travel far for my children. And you know, it's just everything is mixed up. And we'll get the devil constantly saying and sharing this, that you are missing out. People coming to you, you are missing out. Maar hulle weet nie wat ons weet nie, nee. They don't know what we know. We know Jesus. We've tasted him. We've seen him. They do not know the Lord. And for that also, we must have grace. We must pray for those people for salvation. That they taste the Lord. Because that will constantly be the world. You are missing out. Don't do that. You are missing out. We should have grace with them. They cannot think that it is better to follow something else than themselves. Because people are smart. They're lovers of themselves. They're selfish. And it will be increasingly more difficult. And this is why Paul says, he doesn't leave it there. He says, continue in the faith, encouraging Timothy to keep on doing what he's doing. Why does he say that? Because past faithfulness does not guarantee us future faithfulness. Amen? If I was good yesterday, doesn't mean I'm going to be good tomorrow as well. If I was obedient yesterday, doesn't mean that I'm going to be obedient tomorrow. How important is that? So special to think that our faith, every step of obedience we take is precious to God. It's a precious thing. It's a gracious thing. It's his loving kindness leading us to repentance. And we have a role to play, amen. We need to be obedient. We need to walk in what he calls us to do. Faith is precious. It's out of the ordinary. The ordinary will say something different. We are not guaranteed to do the righteous act tomorrow. We need to keep the faith. We see in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, saying, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a lion, looking for someone to devour. Some of us know that verse. Do you know that the enemy hates us? Do you know that he hates righteousness? That he hates obedience? He will come for you, and he will move that fence only 1 meter. He won't move it a kilometer. He will come with the small things. And that's why we see it so often. We even see it in today's scripture. You have followed my teaching, my doctrine. So important to always, you know, check myself. Am I following the right doctrine? It picks our pocket, like a pocket picker. I come home and I'm like, where's my stuff? Oh, it's gone. To constantly know where your stuff is. And what I mean is, you should constantly know, are we on the right track? Are we following Jesus in the smallest of things? Keeping each other accountable and living this beautiful song, as Anu also shared, and Shane, that we keep on testing our hearts, strive towards holiness. Amen. Do we love ourselves or do we love Jesus? It will always be the question. Amen, in every area of life. So let's see at what Paul encourages Timothy with. He says a few things. He says, you, however, have followed my teaching. You have followed my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness. So let's see what we can learn from this. As we see, he starts with teaching, like I just mentioned. Teaching, focusing on doctrine, amen, on the word of God, on what Paul has taught, what he has taught. In those days, Jesus was a new thing for the Jews. He was actually persecuting the Christians. Now he's coming up with this new thing, this Jesus thing, which is obviously the truth, but it was new to them, and he needed to follow that teaching. And he says, you have been faithful, you are following the teaching. We see in the first sermon we've done of Timothy, can you believe it? 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, Paul says, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. If you remember that, stay there. Charge certain people to not teach something else, but to teach the right thing. To proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And therefore, let us be vigilant when listening to people, when we teach others, when we get taught. Let's be vigilant. Amen. A godly biblical teacher does not skip over difficult sections, but always he refers to Jesus. In the morning service, also use this example. When a teacher or anyone that likes to teach out of the Bible makes you the focus, it's the wrong way around. Amen. So when we say that 2025 has all these great things when we follow this part of the Bible, no, wrong. Okay. No, it's other way around. It's how can I give Jesus glory by repenting, making myself less, making him more, giving glory to him. That's always how it should end. Okay, he's the king. How should I become less so that he can become more? Not my best life now type of thing, which is ordinary. We get it often. Okay. And then we see in verses 15, it's a bit later, but Paul also saying to Timothy, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, also connecting to teaching. He's his mom and his grandmother, you know, learning him the sacred writings. In those days, it was the Old Testament. But to ask us the questions, do we spend time with the Word? Do we teach our children to read the Word? If you don't have children, do you plan? You plan to give them. I must say, with our small ones, we read Bible in the evenings, and I must say there's temptations because they just like to play, you know. Temptations to skip over Bible time. But yeah, it's important, so we do it. And we see so much beautiful things coming out of it. And when, you know, often we just look at, you know, Noah's Ark and just make all the sounds of the animals. That's great. But let's teach our children the Word of God, amen? And think about, how does your time in the Word look like? And if any of these things today, the Holy Spirit presses something on your heart, write it down. We want to pray with it. We don't want to leave it. We want to pray through it. Because we cannot say that we have faith in Jesus and not love his Word. His Word is his heart. It's him. It explains him. It's important to know the Word of God. Secondly, we get to my conduct. You ever have followed my conduct, which is a word for way of life. The way I treat people, the way I treat my wife, the way I spend money, the way I like to enjoy my time, what I do in free time. Am I a rude person? Am I sensitive? You know, am I a kind person? Am I caring? And maybe the question that I'd like to ask is, does people know you as the guy that loves Jesus? When you get to work, are you the guy they're pointing to if they have problems? Because he knows Jesus. He always testifies. He always knows the answer. He always has this joy about him. Is that you? How does your conduct look? Can people see that you worship Jesus? Next, my aim in life. I think Paul had this aim in life that was really beautiful. I'm going to read it for us. It's Philippians 3 verse 8. It's not on the board, but it says the following. It says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. I mean, if that is our aim in life and that can be sincere, it's special, amen? Wow, I count everything as rubbish. Everything. Everything. All relationships, everything. That what God says, I'll do that because I want to know him. I mean, won't you then be in the word as well if you want to know him that bad? Definitely. Definitely. We have to have a living relationship with Jesus because he's invested. He wants to know you. Do you want to know him? That is eternal life, that you may know him, Jesus Christ our Lord. John 17, verse 3. Then we get to my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. I think these are characteristics that were born out of a relationship between Timothy and Paul. And Paul seeing this in Timothy's life, seeing his faith, seeing his faithfulness, seeing that he's faithful until the end. And we can agree with that. Timothy was martyred at the end of his life. He was killed for his faith. He definitely had a faith that was true, a faith of Paul. Amen. And next, patience. This is a difficult one. Patience. Probably Paul saw, you know, Timothy dealing with difficult people, you know, having patience. But there's an example that I like to use. There were once we went to the Free State and we came out of Zastron. Who of you knew where that is? Well done. I saw a few hands. And well, I didn't know at first, but we were visiting someone there and we went out there and I remember we were very hungry. And the children was just, you know, it was chaos, you know, and you receive pressure from this side as well. And we just wanted something to eat. Thinking about patience here, man. And we're looking for something, I think a KFC or something. Let's say it was a KFC. When we got there, there was, you know, three cars in front of us. And at that stage, you're like, I don't understand how long does it take to make a burger. Yet, just amoyo, everybody cries. It's chaos, man. It's like, I'll go and show them how to make a burger. But yeah, I just think of times like that where patience is just really low. But are you someone that are patient? Are you patient with people? Are you patient at work? When I lose a bit of patience, I know that I need to spend time with Jesus. And it goes out of the door. When we deal with stuff in our heart, God is gracious and he gives us patience. But when it builds up and we don't go to him, it gets difficult. Okay, love and steadfastness. So love, it's such a big topic. I cannot unpile it today, but it's just one word that comes to mind, and it's self-sacrificing. How self-sacrificing are you when it comes to other people? Are you willing to give to someone else and not to give someone your burger? That's tough, eh? To give something you that you won't like to eat. Yeah, that's true love. No, I'm making a joke. But to self-sacrifice yourself, I mean. Endurance, I think when it comes to Paul, it means to bear up under and through difficult times. I think Paul was actually a rich guy when he persecuted Christians. He was a highly seen person. And as soon as he started his walk with Christ, he got persecuted. I think there was difficult times for him. Endurance, mocking, poverty. I mean, he's in jail now, going to be killed. He needed some big sense of endurance. But that brings us to our first point this morning, and it is, are you following this similar life? This similar way of life that Paul is describing that we can see in Timothy? Are you following that? Are you busy with these things? Do you have a lot of love? Are you following his teaching, his conduct, his aim in life? If something came to mind this morning, do not let it pass. Stop there. I want you to deal with that thing. You need to pray through that thing. Amen. Otherwise, it will just blow over our heads. We are here to grow, amen. Okay. Our next point, I want to follow on this first few words that we see in verse 10. We see in this, in verse 10, you, however, have followed. The NIV, this is the ESV, the NIV says, you, however, know my way of life. And I think, when I think of this verse, I think of an intimate relationship that there are between Paul and Timothy. And I guess they share good things with one another when it goes well, but I think that they also shared the tough things when it did not go that well. We see Paul saying in Romans 7, you know, the things I wouldn't do, I do. The things I would do, I don't do. You know, he's also a sinful man, struggling with things. Who can save me from this body of death? He said in Romans 7. You know, this body that just wants to do all the sinful things. He's just frustrated. Amen. And he probably shared these things with Timothy. And when we share with one another things, we are transparent. Amen. There's a sense of transparency where you can see into my life. And we see with the first sin that occurred between Adam and Eve, the first sin, what happened? They were separated from the presence of the Lord and they hid themselves. That loss of transparency, that loss of accountability, behind the bush, don't see what I do wrong type of thing. Transparency is the first thing that we lose when sin enters our life. Maybe not the first thing, but definitely one of the things. And Paul was definitely not perfect, but he strived towards perfection. I mean, with Timothy living this life. In 1 John 1, verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Just listen to this beautiful verse. When we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And just after this, in verse 8, it says that do not be deceived. Every one of us have sin. Everyone has sin. But walk in the light, because that is what cleans you. And basically what it says is you will always have to walk in the light and always say something to someone because you have sin, remember? It's beautiful. That's why we need fellowship. That's why we need this transparent life. That's why there was this transparency between Paul and Timothy as well. And we are far from perfect. We see this in this verse. We all have sin and we fall short. But we follow a perfect God that did a perfect work on the cross for us, so that we can at any time go to him. So important to go to one another before someone comes to you. We saw also Anu that shared out of Matthew 18 this morning. Matthew 18 is such a loving thing. Can I just say that? Matthew 18, it focuses on when you see a brother in sin, you go to him and you say to him, you know, I see this thing in your life. What a loving thing. What a beautiful thing. Amen. And before this, before Matthew 18 is needed, we have the authority to go to someone else. We have the choice, rather, to go to someone else saying, you know, there's sin in my heart, there's sin in my life, there's this thought that's just not right, just pray for me. That's way before Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is a finished product of sin. I can see it in your life already. And then I go to you. Before this, before, way before this, we have the opportunity to go to one another and pray with one another. And like I said in Hebrews 12, and we are in the end times, sin just clings so quickly as Paul also shared in Romans 7, who can save me from this body that just wants to do all this sin? It's okay. And often we feel insecure about something and someone comes and he points it out. Then we feel more insecure and we're offended. I get that in my marriage. When I know there's something I shouldn't do and my wife's like, hey, Muni. Ah! So I get angry. I'm like, ja, ek weet. I know I shouldn't do that. This is the beauty. When I repent then, it's beautiful. I'm sorry. This is the gospel. This is what cleanses us. This is the process of what we sang about this morning. My heart's one desire to be holy. Not so easy. It takes a process. It takes tears. It takes things to work through. It takes going to one another. And when someone comes to you, how do you handle this? Is the next question. How do we handle someone approaching us? When we see the sin in someone's life and we go to them, or someone comes to you in this case, are we open? We may feel vulnerable. We may even feel overwhelmed. We may even feel a bit offended. But the only thing keeping us from true repentance will be shame. I mean, insecurity. Things from the devil. That's what I want to say. Shameful things. When we live in the light, as he's in the light, we repent quickly. And just to share, like in December, I was with my family and we just watched a lot of movies because, you know, we do that, we like to do that. And we don't actually look at movies during the year, maybe once or twice, and then we watch Teletubbies or something my wife wants to watch, you know. What's it, Sing, some animation. She doesn't like, and it's good. And I just realized, you know, when we watch these movies, how desensitized it makes you feel. It, like I was just so aware of the violence, the crude language, and I even heard the swear words when I get irritated. And when I get irritated, I hear those swear words, and I'm like, God, where is this coming from? And if I leave this thing, soon I will be swearing. And I just realized just how quickly sin creeps in and how quickly I needed to go to someone to pray with them and to pray and pray through that thing. Lord, I'm sorry just for thinking these things. 2 Corinthians 10 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's so important, and often we neglect that. The Holy Spirit coming to say, that thought is wrong. Take it to the obedience of Christ. And the goal is, or let's say the purpose is, we will get sin in our life. Amen? We are sinful. But what we do with that sin is so important. What we do with that wrong thought. And this morning, my encouragement for you is, live a transparent life. Practice to live a transparent life. That's our second point. Are you living a transparent life? When there's things you struggle with, don't leave it. You know, go to someone. James 5, it says it so beautifully. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray with one another. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. That is the word of God. Want het werk. As it is working. Go to someone, pray with them. Because it works. And the ability to go to someone to share sin in your life is a beautiful thing. Remember that. It's a graceful thing. We choose the kingdom of light when we choose this. When we choose to not do it, we choose the devil that hates you. You choose eternal damnation. Every step of obedience is precious. Remember that today. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Continue in this, what you have learned. Therefore, pray with one another. Confess your sins with one another. So those were the two points this morning. And I want to encourage you deeply this morning to start practicing that. Even this morning. I want you to to think of a sin or a challenge or a thought that's maybe really not from God, I want you to share it with someone and I want you to pray for one another. And if you're very uncomfortable, I want you to come to me. Maybe that's more uncomfortable, but come to me. I want to pray with you. Okay, otherwise, turn to someone, pray with someone. I'm going to pray for us. There's 2 points at the end. The first point is for looking to Jesus, asking him to convict us in those wrong ways of life. We saw that in verse 10. Amen. My conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my love, my steadfastness, those things. If something of those you want to pray through, please do ask Jesus to convict you of wrong ways. And then secondly, for transparency, for boldness to share sins with brothers and sisters. That is what heals us. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Yeah, we thank you for this graceful topic, Lord, this beautiful topic. If we think of growth in you and we think of eternal life, it's truly the best for us, Lord. To lay down ourselves, Lord, to share just sins openly and just repent of that. It's such a kind thing, Lord. It's your loving kindness that leads us to repentance. So this morning we pray, Lord, for your kindness. We pray for your grace. We pray for boldness, Lord, to share it with people. And we pray, Lord, that this discipline of sharing and being transparent with one another, Lord, may be something that abides in our life. Maybe something that just flows over in our life so that we can share boldly the things that we struggle with. Jesus, thank you that your word is accurate. Thank you that your word is the best for us. And thank you that your ways are higher, Lord, than our ways. Thank you for your work on the cross. We look to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So there where you are, turn to someone, sit with someone, and just share. Just share something God laid on your heart. And remember to practice this. It won't end today. It won't be beautiful or perfect today. It may be beautiful today, but it will not be perfect. It's something that we need to make a discipline, a habit in our life, to go to someone and pray with one another. Amen. Enjoy your day. Afterwards, you can enjoy a coffee.